Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is Application Management with WebSphere Application Server. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's webcast, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to application management with WebSphere Application Server. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for live Q&A period. And finally, the session will end with a summary of today's webcast. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Preston Law, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Hi, this is Preston Law. I've been working in WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support for about 5 years now. I'm currently a team lead for the WAS ADM team, and the areas that we currently work on include system management, installation, deployment, and scripting areas, where I'm also the scripting subject matter expert. I've also worked in areas like security, and I'm also certified in WebSphere Application Server System Administration for 6.1 and 7.0. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Preston. Next, we have Kumaran Ayakuti, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Hi, this is Kumaran Ayakuti. I've been working with the WebSphere Application Server Support Team for the past 10 years. I've been working on security, install, system management, and application deployment issues. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Kumaran. Next, we have Sang-Wong Oh, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Thanks, Joseph. This is Sang-Wong Oh from Level 2 Support. I've been involved with the WebSphere Application Server since version 1. That makes me working on WAS for a little more 12 years as a QA engineer. And then now I just recently joined Level 2 Support team, specializing in mostly system management, application management, and scripting, and so forth. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Sang-Wong. And finally, we have Vikram Tomandru, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vikram Tomandru. I've been working in the WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support for about 10 years. Currently, we are working on a team where we are specialized in the application management, system management, and the scripting tooling, as well as admin console and the installation. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Vikram. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Vikram.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Vikram Tomandru. Thank you all for joining today's WebSphere Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session in WebSphere Application Server Application Management area. The application management support in WebSphere Application Server provides functions such as installing and uninstalling applications, editing binding information for installed applications, updating the entire application or part of the application, exporting the application, and so on. The tools that can be used to manage enterprise applications in WebSphere Application Server product is Integrated Solution Console, which is nothing but WebSphere Administrative Console. And the second one is Scripting Tool, WS Admin Scripting Command Line Tool. And the third one is the programmatically you can perform administration in the WebSphere Application Server using JMX API that WebSphere provides. So I hope everyone will like this session today, and feel free to ask any questions that you have. We will try to answer them our level best. And thank you all, and back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Vikram. We will now begin our question and answer period with questions that were pre-submitted to us before the webcast. I'll now hand the presentation over to our panel of experts by moving on to question number one on slide number five.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Preston Law answering this question. This question is, how can enterprise application be deployed in a cluster and without any downtime? So the answer to that, we can move on to slide six. The answer here is basically explaining the situation. We have multiple nodes in an environment, and when we update an application or install an application, after we save and sync, that's going to go out to all the nodes simultaneously. When that happens, the application, if it's already installed, may automatically restart based on the update to the bindings. And the way we can manage that is by doing a rollout update feature. So the rollout update will actually go out to one node at a time. And basically, in order to do this, you need to have more than one node in your cluster. So ideally, you'd have two or more nodes and servers on each one of those nodes where the application is then mapped to those servers on those nodes. When you update the application or install the application, you follow the same process, the same steps to install. And when you get in the console to the situation where the application has installed and it's asking you to save the changes, at this point you would wait. You would then go into the admin console, go back to your applications, enterprise applications. You'd select the application that you just updated, and you would click on Rollout Update. So then what this is going to do, it's going to choose a node to start with. It's going to pause that node, and it's going to update the application there and perform the restart. Once the application's back up there, it'll move on to the next node, and that's why you would want to have more than one node. So this way your application is up and running on these other nodes while it's being updated on each individual node. So let's see if I missed anything here. I think I've covered most of that. On to slide seven, Joseph. So the one thing that we may want to do is update this default value. There's a custom property for the deployment manager's JVM, which is COM, IBM, WebSphere, Application, Update, App on Cluster, Wait for App Save. So what this does is it waits for the save to be completed before it moves on with the rollout update. Often anything large is going to take quite a long time to update. And what we'd want to happen is for this default value to be modified. If you have some very large application, say it contains a lot of details, a lot of data all inside your application, and it may be even, I don't know, a couple hundred megabytes. In that case, you may want to update this default value to be more than 180 seconds, which is the default. So if it's going to happen in less time than that, if you haven't had any problems, then you could leave this be. But if you start to experience issues here, you can set this default value to something higher. You may want to choose something like 600 seconds, for example. And so I believe I've answered that question. If you have further follow-up questions on this, you can answer them or ask them in the question and answer period after we go through these first few questions. So, Joseph, you can move on to the next question, slide 8.
Slide number 8, the question 2. This is Vikram handling this question 2. Slide number 8. The question is, can hot deployment process be a recommended approach to your production system? If not, please elaborate more. Moving on to slide number 9. Let me briefly talk about this hot deployment process. The hot deployment process means, you know, updating your application. So assuming you already have your application deployed in the WebSphere application server, And if you want to, like, update your application without going through WebSphere administrative tools like admin console or scripting tool, so you can update your application binary code, which is expanded into the installed apps directory, by dropping, you know, one of the jar module directly into that location, or, you know, one of the single file. So you can perform this hard deployment for both var module as well as for any EJB jar modules. But there is a catch. For this hard deployment, since you are handling this hard deployment directly with installed apps, the WebSphere admin service process does not know anything about those changes. So that is the reason we do not recommend this hard deployment process for a production system. This is well suited for development and testing, but it may cause some issues in the production environments. So the couple of reasons, you know, why you should not use this in a production system is, let's say, you know, you have your application deployed already and you are making some changes to the installed apps directly to that application. Later on, if you want to do like full application update for whatever reason, maybe you got a new application code. So when you go through like the full application update operation process, so we're going to re-expand entire application. So you're going to lose all your changes that you have done to the installed apps directory for this application. The other reason is, let's say, you are running like backup config and restore config for some reason. So when you run this restore config, you know, you're going to lose all these changes into the installed apps directory. Another reason is, if after you have done, you know, changes to your application into the installed apps, and if you are migrating your WebSphere application server product from one version to the new version, so we are not going to migrate the changes that you have done to the installed apps, the folder of that application. So all these are reasons that is the reason we do not recommend for a production system using this hard deployment process. There is another limitation, like you cannot use this hard deployment and dynamic reload function in Sun Solaris as well as HP Unix operating system. The Java archive files within the associated Java development kit are memory mapped. If these jar files are updated by the hard deployment and dynamic reloading functionality when they are being used by Java virtual machine, the file become inconsistent, which results in an application server crash. So when you make changes to the application on these operating systems, so do not use this hard deployment and dynamic reload functionality. But there are a lot of operations that you can perform, you know, under this hard deployment process, and we have a lot of information documented in the WebSphere Application Server Info Center for all releases of WebSphere. We are supporting this hard deployment right from WebSphere 5.0 up until the latest version, which is 8.0. So you can use this hard deployment process, but you can use this in a testing or development systems, and we do not recommend this in a production system. Moving on to slide number 10. Here I put the WebSphere Application Server Info Center URL where you can find out more details about this hard deployment, what can be done using this hard deployment for both var modules as well as the EJB jar modules. And the question number 3. Slide number 11. This is Vikram again. I will be handling this question number 3. The question is, can I manage my enterprise applications using flexible management? So when we say the flexible management, moving on to slide number 12. So when we say the flexible management, let me talk about briefly the flexible management has, you know, the couple of new profiles we have introduced with the WebSphere V7, the job manager and administrative agent profiles. So you can create, you know, if you are in the ND environment, you can create this job manager, admin agent profiles. And once you are done with the creation of the job manager profile, you can register your deployment manager as well as, you know, if you have the admin agent managing your standalone application server profile, you can register both deployment manager and administrative agent with the job manager. And you can submit, you know, the tasks from the job manager asynchronously. So there are some set of predefined the tasks that are available that you can perform from the job manager, and this installing the application management is one of them. So when you go through like job manager admin console, and when you click on the submit, and the next page you're gonna see, you know, you need to select job type. Under the job type, you're gonna see a lot of operations, and you might see like installing the application, updating the application, uninstalling the application. So when you select install application, in the next page you're gonna see a couple of more options. You can select your target cell. If you have registered multiple DMZ or cells with your job manager, you can select the specific cell that you want to perform this operation. And once you select that, and then you'll be able to, you know, select the application which you want to deploy, and then you can select the node and the server. So you're going to see all those options when you go through the job manager admin console panels. So in overall, so you can manage your enterprise application using job manager. The operations such as installing, updating, and uninstalling the applications, apart from a lot of other operations that you can manage, you know, on the system administration, stopping server, stopping cluster, creation of server, creation of clusters, etc. Question number 4.
Yeah, this is Kumar Nayakuti. I'll be taking this question, question 4, on page 13. Is it possible to deploy any regular enterprise application to be a business-level application in the Sphere application server runtime? And what are the benefits of business-level application? Let's move on to slide 14. So when we talk about the business-level application, it is a new concept introduced in version 7. It basically introduced to avoid two limitations which we have been facing in earlier releases. When we talk about the two major limitations, or one is the Java Enterprise application limitation, and another one is for a better management of shared library. When you talk about Java Enterprise application limitation, it's limited to an application. If you have your application with a lot of business logic in it, it's going to be too huge, your application. So it may not be that easier to manage the application. With the business level application, it's a logical view. You can bundle more than one EF file or more than one application into one logical group. And what it gives you is you can control all the applications from one place. Like, for example, if you take clusters, you will have more than one application server in a cluster called cluster member. And you may be able to start, stop all the cluster members from one place. Like business level application, if you have more than one enterprise application in it, so you will have flexibility to start, stop, update, uninstall all the application at one time, at one place actually. So when we talk about better management of shared library, without this business level application, if you want to create a shared library, either you have to put the shared library within a ER file, which is really not shared, or you have to create the shared library on the node level. So that's also not that useful, so because you have to go to each and every node and create the shared library on the node level. With the business level application, you can create the shared library on the cell level. So your application, WebSphere application server itself will take care of the shared library to move the jar files to the respective nodes. And when we talk about any application can be deployed as a business-level application, by default, when you deploy any enterprise application in WebSphere Application Server 7.0, it will be deployed by default to a business-level application, but it doesn't mean that you will have full feature or control of what you have with a business-level application. It gives you a default business-level application name, and it sits under your BLA link. But you will not have all the features. If you really want to achieve all the features of business-level application, you have to go under the business-level application and deploy the application from there. If you want more information about the business-level application, we have provided a WSTE earlier, maybe last year. You can search on our WSTE site, and you can get more information from that WSTE. Let's move on to slide 15. This is Kumar Nayakuti again. I'll be taking question 5 as well. My installed apps folder was wiped out. How do I recover it, and how do I prevent this from happening in the future? Let's move on to slide 16. Usually we should not see the problem in at least on version 8 onwards, because most of the issues have been fixed in V8. With the new concept like version 6.0 onwards, we introduce something called EnhancedTR file. EnhancedTR file is nothing but which comes with all the application resources into an ER file, and you can deploy the application, so you don't have to provide the deployment descriptor or the information during the deployment. So what happens on 6.02 and 6.1, when you deploy the EnhancedTR files on the environment, it kind of wiped out the installed apps directory, so a lot of customers face this problem. Most of the issue has been fixed on 6.02.31 or later release, or 6.10.21 and later release. There were like 2 or 3 APARs introduced to fix this problem. If you ever happen to see this kind of problem, what you can do is you can copy over the entire installed apps from any other working node and put it into this installed apps directory, but make sure under the installed apps the cell name is right on that node, or you have to redeploy those applications again, all the corrupted apps, you may have to redeploy those applications. But even when you redeploy the application, you have to make sure or find the corrupted ER file, the EnhancedTR file, and uninstall that, and then probably you can deploy all other application again. You have another choice if you don't want this to happen anytime. When you deploy it from a console, there's on step one, there's a checkbox called process embedded config. If you disable the process embedded config, so that ER file will be treated as a normal ER file, not as an EnhancedTR file. So you may be able to deploy it successfully, and you may not see this problem anytime. And if you have more questions on this EnhancedTR file or why your applications are getting wiped out on the installed apps directory, you can ask after the pre-submitted question, and we can talk about it. Thanks, and we can move on to question 6 on slide 17.
Thank you, Kumaran. This is Preston Law again. I'll take this one. This relates to scripting. We had a customer using the COM IBM WebSphere Management CMD framework admin command to set up a command and execute it. They were having an issue where they were getting a single object back, which was a string, and they were wondering if there was other way to get that back in multiple objects so that they don't have to use string manipulations. You can move on to slide 18, Joseph. So basically, just to find out more about the admin command, you can look at the info center for the API on this, and there are multiple methods for this command, and I'm not sure specifically which method was being referred to. There are some methods that return a single string or some methods that return an entire collection of artifacts. So there's different situations here. If it was just giving a single string back, which does happen with certain methods, in that case you do have no other option unless there's a different method in that API that you can use that would give back more of a collection versus a single string. But when you do get that single string back, it's rather easy to manipulate the strings in our WebSphere application server scripting. I've also done a previous WSTE session, and if you look at the link on the bottom of this slide, that link will give you the presentation for that WSTE session. If you look at page 20, it gives some different ways to manipulate strings. There's an example on page 20 for split lines, which I often use. That will create a dictionary it'll create an array out of everything that you've split. So if it's coming back in a string, there's often multiple lines, and you can split them and put them into an array that way so that you can use those. There's other ways to split if you want to split on a particular character, and different ways that you can manipulate strings in that regard. There's examples of that on page 10 of that presentation. So there's definitely ways around it. However, if you're using a method that does give you a string and there's no other method available inside of the admin command for the task that you're trying to perform, then you really would have to take care of that with the string manipulation. Hopefully that WST presentation and the examples there give you some more details on that. And Joseph, you can move on to slide 19.
This is Sang-Wan. I'll take the question number 7. So I'll just repeat the question. Could you please describe how we can efficiently use property-based configuration to install applications? In particular, is there a practical way to use this mechanism for the deployment of application to multiple states using portable property files and variable mappings? Could you also talk about resource mappings that are defined as tasks in the deployment configuration? Actually, let's move on to slide number 20. So actually, this question can be better answered by performing a demo or something like that, but let me just describe as best as I can. First of all, you can use admin task apply config properties command that we have to simply install application by specifying the name of the property file location. And the most important thing is you need to specify implementing resource type as equal to application. So once you have that, our engine will understand it and perform an install where the EAR file location and target server and target node, all these things specified in the property file. There's a question about most practical way. So most practical way to deploy an application to multiple different environments using a portable property files and available mappings are you just need to install application with simple output format along with the utilizing the environment variable section. So that section is to specify variables for config object names such as application name, node name, and server name, and so forth. So because once you extract the property file, you're going to have to either hard code it or make it as a variable and make it portable so that you can apply the property file to different systems. So that way, you should be able to add tasks such as map modules to servers within the property file and map roles to users, and then referencing the EJB modules and also map web modules to virtual host. So you just have to specify the task name equal to map web modules to virtual host or whatever you want. And when you specify those task names, you need to separately specify each modules as row 0 or row 1. So you can have as many modules you can specify in there for your application. So, for example, if you want to specify map modules to servers task, you can just specify the task name and then row 0 for the first module and then specify URI for the module and then specify each servers you would like to map to. And this is where environment variable section comes in handy because you can just put variables there with it comes with the exclamation point with curly bracket and then put the variable name in there, and then it will substitute the name of the server or name of the application comes from environment variable section format, and then enter the values for the variables at the end or a separate file if you like. And you can also get those task names from extracting it from your application. You just have to specify property file name with the admin task extract config properties command. And important thing is you have to specify your config data as deployment equal your application name. So once you specify your application name as deployment config data, you can have properties files stripped out from your currently deployed application. Now, the practical way I would recommend is to use something called simple output format. So that way, I mean, if you just strip out the raw property file, it's going to be huge. So to understand or edit it better, you have to use simple output format option set to true. Once you do that, the property file that gets extracted will be very simple to understand and very easy to edit. And once you extracted the config properties for your application, you can easily modify it and perform an application update and things like that. And if you want to just add or update or delete a single file from the module to an existing application, all you have to do is just specify in the property file, specify update equal true, and then operation type equal add or delete or update. After that, you just need to specify the content type as a file, content type equal file, and then content URI equal to whatever file you like to replace or delete or something like that. So I think that's all I have. Let's move on to the next slide.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for live Q&A period.
Walter Kaczynski, your line is open.
I guess I had a question on point number one for the rollout update feature. Is that available, and how would we do that through scripting, either through Jython or some other way?
Okay, so this is Preston, and I'm going to be repeating the questions just to make sure everybody can hear them and understand them. So your question is on rollout update within scripting, how can you do that? So Kumaran, I believe you'd like to answer this one?
Oh, yes, Preston, I can answer this question. Similar to rollout update, we have update app on cluster in WSAdmin. You can use that feature to update application using the scripting. It's called update app on cluster. It's a command you can use with the scripting.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
I can also post a link into the chat session to the Info Center page on that for you as well. Thank you very much.
And we had no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. So we'll now move on to the questions that we have in the group chat. The first question here is, do we have any option to avoid the JVM restart in the role update option?
Yeah, this is Kumaran. I can take this question. Rollout update, there is no way you can restrict the JVM to not to restart. With the rollout update, if you have, for example, three nodes, the application, if you deploy on a cluster, right, it's now on three node, node one, node two, node three. What it does, it goes to node one and stops the application server or the cluster member on node one, syncs the application to that node and starts the JVM. And then once it's done on node 1, then it's going to move on to your node 2. So at any given time, your servers will be running on other nodes. But only one thing you have to be careful is you have to have the horizontal cluster or on a different node so that the application servers or the cluster members will not be stopped on all the things on one node. So it's by design, you cannot avoid restarting the application servers or the cluster members. It will be restarted anyway. But make sure you have more than one node so that your application will be running all the time and they will have the 100% the application downtime.
Thank you, Kumaran. The next question we have here is, I have a question regarding MBean specified at Info Center. Where can I find more information on how to use them, for example, best practices?
Hi, Joseph. This is Preston again, and I can answer this question. There's a lot of different white papers, developer works articles, information center examples, a lot of books out there. There's a lot of information all over the place, but basically I want to point you to a couple things that I've found very helpful. And if you look at my chat message that I threw back at 11:37 a.m. this morning Eastern Time into this chat session, I provided a link to a Developer Works article written by Bob Gibson. This should be very helpful in developing and starting your scripts from scratch. There's also, at the very bottom of that link, you will find a book that he has written for scripting in Jython in WebSphere Application Server. I have this book. Bob Gibson is a close peer within WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support here with me. I've worked closely with him on this sort of thing, and this book is really very helpful. It contains a huge variety of information, mainly in scripting with Jython, and I think that anything that anybody's trying to do with scripting, if they're just trying to get involved with it and try some examples out and really do multiple system administration, application administration functions, I really suggest that they pick up this book or at least look at that first WS or that first Developer Works article in that link and take a look and see what kinds of things Bob has to offer with that. That can be very helpful. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Preston. The next question we have here is, apart from JVM parameters like JVM heap size and log path and other resources configuration like data source and QCF changes, do we need to restart the JVM for any application deployment activity? If so, what are all the different scenarios for the JVM restart requirement for any of the WAR or EFile deployment?
Yeah, this is Vikram Tomendro. I can take this question. So especially if you're talking about application update, you know, operations on the JVM, you don't have to restore entire application server JVM to take your application, the changes to take effect. So only the application has to be restarted. So even the WebSphere, if you are doing the application update, if you're going to just do the partial update for a WAR module, we're going to stop that WAR module, particular WAR module, and we update the code and we restart that particular WAR module if it is a partial update. So coming to the JVM restart, apart from like, you know, the JVM heap size, log path in the location, and some of the data source related to the configuration changes, if there is a change to the security related, you have to restart the application server JVM, as well as any changes that you make for that application server level, like any like generic JVM argument or any JVM custom property. So you have to restart the application server JVM. But the entire application server is not required for application update operation. Is that answer your question?
Yep, thank you, Vikram. And the next question we have here is, I have exported an EAR file from one IBM WASP 6.1 admin console and tried to deploy the exported EAR file into another IBM WASP version 6.1 admin console. All of a sudden, in the destination IBM WASP 6.1 admin console, all of the installed applications have disappeared from the WASP install home profiles, app server 02 installed apps directory. How can I avoid this kind of situation in IBM WASP 6.1 in the future?
Hi, this is Kumar Nayakuti again. I can take this question. As I mentioned in the previous slide in the pre-submitted question, starting 6.0 onwards, we introduced the NSTR file. So when you export any application starting version 6.0, it considered as NMCR file by default. So for example, you have cell 1 where you have your application running, and when you export the application, it exports the application with the cell name as cell 1. And you go to cell 2 and you try to deploy the application there, since it's an NMCR file, which carries the cell name also with it, and you are deploying it on cell 2, so it won't match with your cell name of your cell 1, right? It's with your actual cell 2. So this made the conflict, and it kind of wipes out the installed apps directory. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are on 6.1.21 or later release, you should not see the problem. And if you really don't want to use the enhanced file feature at all, then what you can do is you can, when you deploy the application, you have option like process embedded configuration on step one on the console. You can disable it so it won't even use the enhanced file feature. If you are using the WS-admin to deploy the application, you can use the same, there's a command like process disable process embedded or process embedded config equal to false, something like that. So you can use the WS-admin scripting also to disable the process embedded config so it won't be treated as an STR file, so it won't even use your cell 1 information when you deploy the application on cell 2. So the best thing is to be on the latest level of WebSphere application server release, so you will not see the problem. If you still experience a problem after 6.0.21 or later release, probably you can open up a PMR so we can work on it. Thanks. Back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Kumaran. The next question we have here is, can we have multiple application deployment for different applications deployed on different JVMs at the same time using rollout updates?
Thanks, Joseph. This really may cause some issues because rollout updates really designed to update a single application. If you're using rollout update on multiple applications at the same time, they may be mapped to the same nodes. And what happens is the way the deployment manager determines which node is random. So it's going to choose a node to start with. And if you're trying to hit the same node at the same time, that may actually be okay that it updates the application on the same node because that same node is paused or stopped at the same time. But what happens if you've only got two nodes and this rollout update is occurring and both nodes at the same time, basically you could have these applications stopped and restarted all at the same time on separate nodes, which may or may not be a good thing depending on the way you have things set up. If you're really trying to make these applications running on the same node at the same time, that may be an issue. But it should work as long as there's no dependencies between these applications, but it just really depends on the different requirements and what kind of setup you have. If you have more than two nodes, it would definitely be okay, but it also depends on the different web service calls or dependencies on the applications and things like that. So I hope that answers your question. If you have more details, you can ask further.
Thank you, Preston. The next question we have in the group chat is regarding the property-based configuration question number 7. Is the simple output format an option on the extract command, and in what version of WASP?
Yeah, I can take this question. This is Sangwan. I actually should have mentioned this, but I guess I made a mistake because the simple output format was introduced for 8.0 actually. Up until 7.0, the only option that you could, I mean, the best option you can use is it's called portable properties file. Is that too true? The difference with the simple format and this one is that once you extract the properties file, you won't see the mutables things because, I mean, those are not really useful for you anyways. It's for your only information. So you can just strip out the mutables and read-only fields like that. It's pretty simple enough to understand. So, yeah, I apologize for the confusion there. Back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Sango. So the next question we have here is, with an application deployed in a cluster, is it possible to use WS-admin to stop only one node of the cluster? But the plugin does not know that the application is stopped on what node. is it possible to configure the plugin to be detected so that the application can be stopped? Or is the only way to put the plugin down?
Yeah, I can take the question, Joseph. It's not possible from the console. When the application is running on a cluster, if you want to stop the application on one node, I mean, obviously you'll be stopping the application, so it's going to stop down all the nodes. So you can use the WSAdmin scripting, get the application management MBN on that node and stop the application. I'm also pasting a link on the chat window. So it has the explanation of on the solution of how you can achieve it. So once the application is down on that node, so anyway, plugin is not going to route the information to that node. So you should be okay. So this is the only way you can stop the application just on one node. Yeah, Preston might be adding a little more to it, actually.
Yeah, so I've seen other things that customers have wanted to do as well. The way that you can also basically perform a rollout update manually is to have automatic synchronization disabled. If you have automatic synchronization disabled, when you save your deployment on the DMGR, it won't restart the application because it hasn't been saved out to the nodes yet. So then with that completed on the deployment manager side, you can choose to sync in WSAdmin one node at a time. And when that sync goes to that particular node, the application will see the update and it will restart automatically. So you could actually programmatically with scripting basically perform the same things as a rollout update. And in that way, if you set things up like that, it may get more complicated for you. You may have a lot of error checking to do. You want to make sure that the application is up and running after the update and everything like that before you move on to the next node. But the other thing there is that way you can choose the order of which nodes get updated first. So that's one thing that you cannot do when you use the rollout update feature. It gets done randomly. With scripting, you can really force it to occur in any manner that you wish in that regard. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Preston. The next question we have here is, if we have one application deployed in a cluster, two nodes, without stopping the JVM or the server, can we send all transactions through one particular JVM?
This is Vikram. I can take this question. If the application is deployed in a cluster, yeah, it is possible. You can route all your incoming requests to one particular the member, even though the other one is up and running. But you have to configure the configuration weight on the member level. So when you go into the cluster, in the admin console, clusters, and when you click on your cluster, and then when you click on the members, there you're going to see a column with the configuration weight and the runtime weight. So if you specify that configuration weight, based on the information we have in the info center, you can achieve this information, you can achieve this, what you are looking for.
Yeah, I can add a little more into it. Actually, I believe you don't want to restart the application server or the cluster member, and still you want to route all the transaction to another cluster member. In order to do that, you have to put that in a runtime weight. You have to make one cluster member into zero, and other cluster member, like whatever weight you want to give, so that all the transaction will be moved to the another cluster member in the runtime. But this feature is available, I believe, starting v7.0. I may be wrong, maybe from 6.1 onwards, but definitely not on 6.0 on the earlier release. So the runtime feature, I think it's introduced 6.1 or 7.0. So you go to the same panel like what Vikram described, you will see the runtime weight there. So you give zero to the cluster member so that none of the transaction will be routed to that cluster member. Thanks. Back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Kumaran. The next question we have here is, does IBM have or provide any sample script to automate the application deployment in distributed environment?
Thank you, Joseph. This is Preston Law again, and I can answer this one. There is a link that I just pasted into the chat This is the sample scripts that are out on DeveloperWorks. This is all that we provide, and the main points of these are that they are sample scripts, so customers have to modify them to work in their environment. It may not take into account everybody's situation or specification, and these particular scripts would not be supported by Level 2 support in terms of the way they work. You basically have to modify and work on these on your own. If there's a specific command that fails or a specific exception that you get from a specific command, then we can certainly help you. But Level 2 support will not provide scripts, write scripts, or help you develop your scripts. Basically, that's all going to have to be done with yourself, or WebSphere services may have to be involved if you're looking for IBM to help you in writing scripts. Thank you.
Thank you, Preston. Next question we have here, can we customize the error page for the application when the application is in a stopped state in WebSphere application environment?
This is Kumar Nayakuti. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure if anyone else have any answer to this, but we are not sure on this. Maybe we have to find an answer and provide it later. Probably if you can provide the email ID in the chat, we can try to find the answer and provide it to you. But when the application is in stop state, I'm not sure if there is a way we can do it, first of all, but we can figure it out and we can get back to you, if unless otherwise somebody has any other idea or suggestion. Thanks. Back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Kumaran. And thank you, everyone, for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this point in time, I would like to move on to slide number 23 and pass the presentation over to Preston for a summary of today's webcast.
Thank you, Joseph. So today we went over application management and WebSphere application server, and we responded to questions regarding rollout update app on cluster using scripting. We responded to hot deployment question, flexible management with the job manager and the admin agent. We went over business level applications. We got to touch on installed apps folder being wiped out questions, and in that regard, we did suggest being on 6.10.21 and 6.02.31 or newer for enhanced ears. And scripting, we spoke about string manipulations and using APIs. We provided some sample scripts. We provided a link on using the DeveloperWorks article that was written by Bob Gibson. And at the bottom of that was also a book that he has written, which is very helpful in that. We've also went over some property-based configuration steps that we can use and talked about different reasons and ways that applications get restarted. And we went over basically some more things on deployment with scripting. I believe that covers most of the things that we discussed. We had a very good session. We had a lot of questions, and I thank everybody for that. And I will pass this over back to Joseph.
Thank you, Preston, for a great summary. At this point in time, we will conclude the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session.